Stats SA released the first quarterly employment statistics today, a report that looks at developments in the formal employment sector, excluding the agricultural sector. The report found that as at the end of March this year, 10,231,000 workers were engaged in the formal economy. In the first quarter, sectors that saw a reduction of jobs included trade, where some 17,000 jobs were lost, construction, where 14,000 jobs were lost, and manufacturing, whose numbers were cut by 2,000. Sectors that saw increases in jobs were business services, they were up by 8,000, transport increasing by 2,000, and community services, which includes government employment, up 17,000. Well, to unpack the report for us, I'm joined on the line by Elna Moorman. She's an economist at Standard Bank. Thanks very much, Elna, for joining us. So jobs numbers remained fairly steady in the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter. But as I've outlined in the introduction, there were some subtractions in some sectors and some additions in others. What were your observations?
Absolutely, and I think that's very important. So the overall numbers seem to be quite steady, but that is partly because of job growth in the government sector that is offsetting the job losses that we've seen in some of the other sectors. I'm always a little bit cautious about overemphasizing specific numbers here, partly because we don't have seasonal adjustments, and so there can be some disruptions, etc. But generally, private sector formal employment has already been under pressure, and again, we see it in this data here, and that is just four.
So looking at the numbers, it's interesting to see an increase in part-time workers with very little change in terms of full-time workers. Is that a trend that we're likely to continue seeing, given the expense that comes with hiring a permanent employee for companies?
I think that what we may see going forward is somewhat of a shift towards more part-time workers. In other words, as a way of saving costs, reducing hours, we've seen companies cutting wages, etc. So I think that we'll see somewhat of a trend there as we go forward over the course of this year.
Speaking about wages, I see that when it comes to wages and salaries on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there was a 0.6% decline, although on an annual basis, it increased by 4.6%. Presumably, we're likely to continue seeing a decline in wages on a quarter-on-quarter basis, given the decimation that we've seen in the jobs market as a result of the COVID-19 situation. And of course, in some industries, there's going to be way much more supply of labour than there is demand for it.
Absolutely. I think two things are happening here. The one is, like you've mentioned, the pressure of COVID and the general economic impact. And we've already seen some companies announce significant wage cuts. But I think the other factor to keep in mind is that generally inflation has also been slowing. And so even though the nominal wage growth seems very low here, we should see that relative to inflation, which of course in the last number of prints was just about 2%. It won't stay there, but we do have to take into account that at least inflation has also been decelerating. And so real wage growth was at least in the first quarter being still on an aggregate basis slightly positive.
So the National Income Dynamics CRAM survey has estimated that some 3 million people lost their jobs from February through to April and no doubt have continued without jobs, with an additional 1.5 million temporarily not having an income due to the national lockdown. What's your expectation around what the QES will look like for Q2?
So I'm not sure that we'll see all of the impact in the second quarter yet. So I would expect a significant decline, but I think it's very possible that we only see the bulk of the impact towards the third quarter and maybe even the fourth quarter.
Why do you say that?
I think generally employment lags a little bit. In other words, if I'm a firm, the last thing I'll do is to let someone go. I'll try to save in every other possible way. And of course, we've had a little bit of support from the temporary employment relief scheme that could have helped some of the businesses a little bit. But if we look at some of the other survey data, the TransUnion one, for example, there's clearly significant pressure. And unfortunately, I think there are two important dimensions. One is it's the lower income groups that are the most severely hit, and then it's the smaller businesses. So there's definitely that part of the economy that's already under significant pressure.
Yeah. We know that there have been revisions done to the 100 billion rand or 200 billion rand loan guarantee scheme to enable small, medium enterprises to be able to access funds on a more long-term basis, and you know, they can get a better interest rate and so on and so forth. Do you think this is going to help to save some businesses and therefore some jobs?
I definitely think it's going to help. And I think the attempt at this stage is precisely that. If you don't rely on a single policy intervention, but you have the loan guarantee scheme and then all of these other interventions, and you hope that the combination then prevents some of these business closures. But like I've mentioned, if we think about some of the earlier Statist A surveys, for example, we've already seen quite a significant number of the smallest businesses in particular that have unfortunately closed down.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the meantime, the government has managed to secure over 91 billion rand in international funds, 70 billion rand of which was confirmed by the IMF yesterday. Part of that money is set to be invested in turning the economy around following the ravages of the virus. Where do you think there can be quick and easy wins in creating jobs in the short term if the money is obviously properly applied?
Yeah, I think we need to make a little bit of a distinction in terms of firstly just addressing our current fiscal funding requirements. And so my view is we should think of this as just helping to plug that gap. And then we need to almost separately think about how do we approach this jobs problem that we have. And I thought one of the comments in the president's letter at the beginning of the week was quite interesting, in which he talked about state employment programs. I mentioned a little bit earlier that we saw some government employment growth, and of course, the immediate reaction would be we don't want that from a fiscal perspective because we're trying to control the government wage bill. But an important exception there, of course, is the expanded public works program. Mm. And that is one of the big positives, I think, out of this crisis, is how government was able to employ a large number of unemployed people in the health sector to help with the testing and follow-up, etc. And to my mind, what he signaled in his weekly letter is that we should expect to see more of that going forward, which I think is a very positive development.
Yeah, but then, Elna, there is a big question mark in terms of the expanded public works program around the quality of skills that are created and, you know, whether those people are then employable again, you know, once they're done with the projects.
Absolutely. And some part of that program are more successful than others. Mm. And some are unfortunately be a little bit disappointing. But to my mind, we have to say to ourselves, the economy isn't going to grow fast enough anytime soon to address the massive unemployment problem that we already have and that will be worsening in the short term.
Yeah.
So then we only have a couple of options. To my mind, either we focus on grants and extending the grants that we've announced, etc., or we think about whether we don't want an expanded public works program. And to my mind, there are many benefits of rather going that route.
Yeah. Of course, as we try, you know, a multi-pronged approach in trying to resolve our problems, some of them will be short term, some of them will be long term. And one of the long term issues is obviously education. And now, given the impact that COVID-19 has had on education, not just here in South Africa, the world over, but here in South Africa, of course, it's more sensitive and more delicate because of the kind of educational outcomes that we've seen in the past. To what extent are you concerned about the impact that this is going to have in the next few years on our learners and therefore, you know, the system?
Yeah, I have to say that's one of my key concerns, and the fact that we're talking about extending academic calendars already, etc. It's just very difficult to think about a system that's already under pressure. Mm. And now we need to add these additional pressures. So absolutely, we're very concerned about that.
Mm. That was Elna Moorman. She's an economist at Standard Bank.